All right, boys. You have your choice of either a fucked up medical story for me
Right.
or nothing, because I haven't done anything else recently.
Well, I guess that makes the choice
Up to
easy.
you.
Let's hear it.
Oh my God. I kind of loosely mentioned this to JT during the Habibi chat thing, but you opened it was stuck in a field in the middle of nowhere, so he didn't
Literally,
hear it. So
literally. With a bunch of drunk guys in uniform. I leave the story to that. You will never learn anything more than
Yeah. Exactly right. Oh my God. He took a sabbatical on the front line. I mean, that's what it looked like. I'm not
Don't tell
going to
them on
comment
what
further,
side.
but
Let them guess in
All right. So the other day, I was finishing up work, and my overseeing physician comes to me and he's like, "Hey, there's an emergency, and you're gonna have to take care of it." And I was like, "All
Nice.
right, thank you." So I go and I do that, and it's a man who had a subarachnoidal hemorrhage, which is basically a Think about it as an aneurysmal bleed. That's the easiest way. It's not 100% correct, but that's the easiest way I can explain it without going into details. One of the characteristic signs of this is something called a thunderclap headache. So worst headache of your
Wow.
life. Your head feels like it's absolutely going to explode. Think of a headache you've had in your life. It's nothing compared to that. It's way
There's
worse.
no way it's worse than any
It's
of my
okay.
hangovers, bro, but okay, you do you.
Yeah, I know,
I'm kidding,
but
okay.
the amount of things you've consumed would kill an elephant.
Is
That's
that
easy.
The same thing as cluster headaches?
No, cluster headaches are a different form of headache.
Okay.
They are also incredibly painful. But cluster headaches are things that would be like if somebody has them, usually they come and go, and people suffer from them for
Okay. So
months or
it's
even
chronic.
years.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly right. But having a subarachnoidal hemorrhage is not something you get every weekend, for example, or when your boss yells at you. Anyways, so this guy, he comes in and he has like sky high fucking blood pressure, like ridiculous, right? For those who are in the know, he had almost 200 systolic. This is fucking ridiculous.
Jeez.
He comes in and I'm checking him out and he's fully stable. So we give him some medication to bring down his blood pressure, and he was completely stable. We bring down the anesthesiology specialists, and they're like, "Hey, do you really need us here?" I'm like, "Nah, he's fine." So they fuck off. They go up, and I call the neurosurgeon. And I'm like, "Hey, this guy's gonna need to be operated." So he's like, "Oh, send him up to CT, do the CT, make sure that confirm that it is an aneurysmal bleed, and then we'll do that." So we go up to the CT, and he's completely fine, still stable. We confirm that's an aneurysmal bleed. I call the neurosurgeon again. I tell him, "Yeah, okay, it is that." So he tells me, "All right, 30 minutes. We're preparing a room, so you just kind of hang around." And then here's where it begins. We bring him back to the emergency ward, because there's nowhere to fucking have him. When am I gonna have him on a fucking bed outside? Where am I gonna put him? So we go down, and this dude starts to like his blood pressure starts to spike, and my overseeing physician is like, "Why the fuck did you bring him here? It's supposed to be a neurosurgery." I'm like, "Yeah, well, they're preparing a room." And as we're talking about, this guy begins to have seizures, like several really really bad seizures, and his blood pressure is still spiking. It goes up to 252 systolic. Again, for those in
Wow.
the know, this is like water cooling a supercomputer.
In your body.
This is ridiculous
Jesus
for a
Christ.
human body.
Okay,
yeah,
I got a
this
stupid question.
Heavyweight.
With blood pressure,
Yeah.
if you were to poke him with like a needle, would it be like a jet of blood?
Yeah. It would be more powerful, yes, technically, but not in that way. You'd have
Okay.
to hit an artery.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And not always, depending on the circumstances, a bit more complicated. But for your interest, yes.
Thank you.
If you're to nick his carotid, yeah, it would shoot out further than if you were to nick a regular guy. Okay. Anyways, so he starts to seize, and we're like, "Oh my God!" So we need to break the seizure. So we give him diazepam, and he's still seizing. And as he's seizing, and in the turmoil of what's going on, his heart rate starts to fall and his breathing starts to fall, and we're like, "Oh fuck, this dude's gonna crash." So we get the team, the heart team together in case he does. But thankfully, with the correction of the seizure, he comes back. But he was stable before, and that's what I told the neurosurgeon. This was like all of this happened over the course of like 2 minutes,
Wow.
3 minutes. So I called the neurosurgeon again. I'm like, "Hey, he's not stable anymore. This guy's gonna go out any moment. So could you please fucking take him?" And he's like, "Oh, we're getting the room ready, and I'm not so sure." I'm like,
What the fuck is the guy
"Motherfucker,
dying?
could you please?"
Doesn't need fresh flowers on the windowsill.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. He's like, "Oh, we're getting the room. Fuck you, I'm getting the room ready." Anyways, yeah, it was a mess. And because of the fact that he almost died, right then twice, by the way, he seized and almost died, and we managed to
Jeez.
save him. Actually, he almost died when he had the aneurysm burst. And then we saved him from that. Then he came and started seizing, and we saved him from that. And then he had the fucking, his heart was about to give out.
He had the audacity to attempt to die a third time.
Exactly. Then he stopped breathing, so we had to intubate him. And again, so we saved him from that again. And his blood pressure is still fucking on the roof. So in the end, finally, we're like, you know what? I don't care what the neurosurgeon says. I'm driving him up there. So he did. And then the intubation staff were nice enough to basically take him off my hands.
Did he make it?
Oh, yeah. Alhamdulillah. He made it. In the end, he's good. He's like not 100% neurologically stable still, mm-hmm. I think, from last I read. But we'll see what happens with him, inshallah khair. But all of this transpired over the course of maybe 12 minutes from him coming in until the end. So all...
He came in on time, man. Good on him as well for treating himself properly.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't treat himself. He hasn't been taking his blood break. He has very difficultly regulated blood pressure. Difficultly, that's not fucking correct English. He has
poorly
controlled. Treated, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he hasn't been taking his meds. He has three different meds, and they're very strong. And he hasn't taken a single one of them in a month. He's just decided to stop taking them.
Wow, okay.
So well, it is his fault. Yeah. So, moral of the story, please take your medication.
I swear, I have a theory that doctors are like a specific breed of people that is like borderline psychopathic, and this is my theory. Soldiers go to war, and then they see fucked up shit. Legs flying off, heads flying off, fucking eyes popping out. And then they have PTSD for their whole life after their like 2 year service. These dudes spend 50, 60 years chopping hands and legs and fucking eyes up. Fucking, like when they study, they just fuck around with dead bodies for like 3 fucking years. And all of them are supposedly normal members of society that don't have some weird form of insane PTSD. Obviously, I'm oversimplifying here. PTSD is very often caused by the fact that, you know, you might die in the moment, while the psychotic doctors that I love and respect very much, but still psychotic, they're like, you know, I'm not going to die, it's somebody else, unless, you know, I fuck up the scalpel and stab myself in the throat.
Yeah.
But still very, like, don't you get fucking insane nightmares from, like, the fucked up shit you see, especially, like, physical wounds and stuff like that? I don't know. And people dying, obviously. People fucking dying. He's here now. Up. He's not here now. What the fuck? You know, how do you not lose your mind over that?
The circumstances that you'd catch me having, like, a snack or lunch, during which people are the fluids and screams and stuff you'd hear around me, you'd be like, yeah, I'm not right in the head. But no, I think when you work in this environment, you just kind of you tune it out after a while. Death is a regular part
like
of life.
Like concentration camp guards. You see this. Nazi Germany.
Okay, you don't have to bring it to that point. But yeah, it's never nice when a patient dies. But also you should divorce yourself from like the personal connection, because it's gonna get so tiring so quickly, right? You have a job at the end of the day and you have to help other people. If this one didn't make it for whatever reason. Hey, I have a guy. Actually, I'll show one more story. I know a guy who worked.
I know a guy.
I know a guy. I know a Syrian dude who did his surgery rotations. He's a surgeon now, but he began his surgery specialization in straight after med school in a military hospital in Aleppo during the Civil War.
Oh.
Yeah, and I remember he would tell me, he was like, yeah, when in his emergency ward, which is the surgical side of his emergency ward, when people would come, they'd come by the ambulance doesn't come to the hospital until it's stuffed full, right? And so it'd be busloads of people. It's not worth it for an ambulance to bring one person. So they would come in and be 42 people at once.
Wow.
And they're all basically like dumped on the ground, and you as the surgeon or the emergency medicine doctor have to walk between them and be like, this guy will get to and will save. This one won't make it, take him away. This one won't make it, take him away. This one won't make it, take him away. Yeah. And I'm just like, God. And do you want to know the best part about it? Is this guy is maybe 2 or 3 years older than me. When you look at his face, he looks like he's 15 years old, 20 years old. Like, he has the beginning and end of the Obama's presidency. Like, look,
the right side of a truck driver's face.
Yeah, exactly, exactly right. Oh my God! But hey, he's chilling now. He's like, hey, this is barely work. I'm like, yeah, I can imagine, but also,
there's not even any bullets in there.
Hello, everybody. everybody, and welcome to, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I'm so nervous, episode 100 of the Deep Throat.
Oh my god!
Alhamdulillah.
I can't.
Alhamdulillah.
I can't even believe it. I don't know what the percentage is of podcasts that make it to episode 100. I know. Like when we had it hosted on Buzzsprout, Hakeem, you were saying like we got all the awards immediately because most podcasts don't make it past like three episodes, but here we are. So I just wanted to. I think this is going to be a nice, casual, heartwarming episode where we look back on some of the favorite moments from the first 100 episodes. That's almost 2 years of the Deep program, which is crazy to think about. It feels like we just started this project.
Literally.
It's still so much fun.
It's still an infant. My God, we haven't done anything with it yet.
Honestly, yeah. We've got you people. Oh, you're trapped. We've got so much more content coming. Anyway, what we've been doing for the past a couple months now, actually, is we've been collecting suggestions from people in the Discord server. Shout out to the Patreon if you want to get in the Discord server, hang out with us, all sorts of stuff, early access.
Not only that, but technically we're not at 100 episodes. We're at like 122 or something because
all
the
bonus
episodes we've done.
Yeah.
So, there's plenty of content that you guys are missing out on if you're not on the Patreon, but go on.
But yeah, we've been collecting requested clips from the first 100 episodes, and we made a point of not including any of our own. So this is a completely pure, untainted list. I have 31, I think, clips from you people to go through. And so don't blame us if some of them are garbage, but I had to cut them all up myself, and they're all pretty funny. But anyway, boys, what do you have to say? How do you feel? Are you feeling good?
I feel good. I feel moisturized and glowing. Sorry, you got that going.
100 episodes, 700 days, 100 weeks, and we're not even counting bonus episodes here and so on. It's been an absolute ride. It's been an absolute blessing. It feels like a job, but in a good way, like, you know, the stakes organized and so on, but it feels fulfilling. It feels like a part of my purpose is actually found in this beautiful friendship I have with you two. Borderline unlikable, but still somehow fucking lovable motherfuckers that, dear listeners, I have never even fucking seen yet. Like, these could be fucking CIA mutts or some shit on the other side that I'm fucking talking to forever. And whenever I tell, like, some of my closer friends who I admit to it, you know, what I do, because, you know, they need to be close enough in order for me not to feel embarrassed by saying that I'm a podcaster, they always get very shocked by the fact that we still haven't met. So I'm really looking forward to seeing their beautiful faces at one point. And all I can say is that I'm very, very thankful for being able to just find this, like, nook, let's call it, inside of this disgusting thing we call capitalism that allows you to, you know, create a good life for yourself, share your actual ideals and ideas and, let's be honest, propaganda that you genuinely believe in, while being able to, you know, not slave away for a boss, at least not to the same extent as you would have to otherwise. So all listeners, trust us. We know how big of a privilege this is that you are giving us, and we will do our best not to let you down.
Exactly.
For around 100 episodes, I think we've done pretty well. Only, what, 3-4 little controversies about, like, fucked up shit that we've said out of 100 episodes?
Hey, that's very good. Yeah. Those are good numbers.
Unhinged, like, talks, it's pretty good. It's not rookie numbers.
Yeah, the unbleep to bleep ratio of this podcast is pretty darn good, I must say. And there's some of the bleep rants in here too, in the list.
Oh, okay. I'm glad. Wait, are we? Don't tell me we're uncensoring them.
Oh no, certainly not. No.
Okay.
Hakeem would be drone strike on the spot.
Good. Oh my god. Look, you can keep in my French hating, but all the rest. No, I can't. I can't even begin to put into words how much I love the project and the people who are behind it, as well as the people who support us. JT has built this ship. Yugopnik is the one that steers it, and I'm the one who tries not to be fucking seasick off the side.
You keep us from dying at our posts. Are you serious? Like, the number of medical things we've been like, Hakeem, is this normal?
I'm the resident. By the way, if you want to subscribe to the Hakeem National Healthcare Plan, then join the Discord. But yeah. Which, by the way, is unironic, but no, it's it sounds funny. It isn't. People do generally ping me all the time.
So he much. Fucking replies. So much. He's an angel, man.
Hey, look, it's the least thing I can do. I'm happy, firstly, just to be able to be doing this with you guys, because I love both of you. Secondly, it's because it's something that allows me to support my parents in a more meaningful way, yeah. Because I work a public sector job that pays me literally less than bullshit. They pay me in chewed up rubber. Okay, fucking hell. The heels of old military boots, yeah. Right? Chicken bones and fucking socks with holes in them. That's what they fucking pay me. expired yogurt. By the
way, you got so many analogies.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. By the way, somebody who I was working with, a friend of mine actually at work, he was like, I asked him, I was like, hey, do you have lunch? Do you have a snack? And he looked at me, he was like, he said my real name, mm-hmm. Right? But he was like, I pulled a Hakim. And he implied that he went and took some patient sandwiches and made himself some fucking tea. So, hey, people are finding out, I guess, about my sandwich stealing habits.
Your big brain play. I guess for anyone who doesn't know, we can kind of recount the story of how this all began. On a beautiful day in, I don't know, what month would this have been? I don't even remember. Maybe July.
November.
I
think November.
We started in November, but we planned for a while. Anyway, a beautiful late summer or / autumn day.
Mm, of winter.
Yeah, it's at some point in 3/4 of the year this happened. I had been wanting to do a podcast for a long time, and the issue was, I am not interesting or smart. So I was like, how do I solve these two large problems? And so I don't watch a lot of YouTube. Like the YouTube that I do watch is like cars, video games, cameras, stuff like that. I don't watch a lot of commie YouTube. But the two channels that I did watch and continue to watch are Hakim and Yugopnik. And I was like, these guys know what they're talking about. They're very interesting. They're from different parts of the world. And that was kind of the seed of the idea that we ran with. Is like, what if we got three people from three different parts of the world to give our perspectives on socialist topics or you know, just culture in general. And so I shot them both a DM on the website formerly known as Twitter, now X. and they were both game. I didn't expect it to go anywhere, but I'll let you boys chime in with what your initial reaction was.
No, I loved it. It was an idea that also was on the back of my mind, and I was, you know, it's very interesting that roughly around the same time, all of us, this was a divine intervention, I think, personally, because I think both Yugopnik and I had ideas of starting a podcast independently, and I think we had spoken briefly about it, and the idea I was thinking, I was like, okay, who would make sense to have along with this project? And I thought about Yugopnik, and second thought, or JT specifically, but when I was thinking of you back then, I just thought, second thought. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you seem too out of reach.
Yeah, I was like, why the fuck would this guy want anything to do with the same? Oh my God, same mentality, absolutely. And then that same motherfucker writes you a fucking DM. It's like fucking, dude, when I was third year in college, I fucking watched Hakim videos, right?
Yeah.
I would sit down with dudes with other coaches, like, dude, did you see the fucking Hakim video, bro? Like, yeah, bro, that was fucking great, man. And then afterwards, you know, I'm like, oh my God, a channel this fucking big that, you know, is proposing our cause fucking exists. Holy fucking shit. And then that guy's modest as fuck, and the other guy's modest as fuck. And they fucking then reach out to me and they're like, let's start this international fucking thing where we were talking to a mic and hope people listen. And people then listen. And you're like, holy fucking, sorry, I'm just excited. It's very nice. How the fuck did that happen? You know, how the fuck is this my life? Okay, I'm just having an identity crisis right now live, but what the fuck?
The biggest thing about working with both of you, by the way, because I've wanted to a lot, but I'm a very, like, my closest IRL friend, I would say, he somehow, by the way, the fucking algorithm was ruining me, he found independently Second Thought as well as Yugopnik. So he was watching JT's videos. He was watching Hugo's videos. He never once stumbled across my shit. So I was like, and he didn't know at the time. And I still felt like off about, you know, telling people very close to me about this. So I was like, fuck, I can't work with these dudes because they, like, the second he hears my voice with anything with them, then he'll know. But then he, by, you know, ala ghafla, as we say in Arabic, like, just suddenly he happened to stumble upon one of my videos, which he watched, like, almost all the way through and didn't realize it was me until I said a phrase that he basically, like, the cadence of the way I said it was like, wait, hold on. And then he
confronted you.
Wrote to me. it was fairly sudden. What's it called? And then I also was like, okay, yeah, no more blocks to this. So let's go ahead. And it was best decision I've made so far in my life, generally.
The rest is history. Oh, shucks, you boys. Oh, okay, well, that's enough. That's enough of the background. I think most of you have been with us for a very long time, if not the whole time. And
yeah, I'm doing this whole character like, oh, evil Slavic alcoholic man or whatever fuck. Yeah. And now you're like making me cry and shit. Like, fuck me. Thank God we're not like video recording. You know? I have to continue. Yeah, my machismo needs to survive.
Yeah,
let me say a slur. What?
Oh, my God.
Canceled on our 100th episode. Yeah.
Let me beat the nearest... I'm not gonna. All right, go on.
Anyway, let's get into the meat of this episode with the first viewer request or listener request, and that is when we first met the beautiful mind of Mitch Whiting. This was during our LinkedIn episode, which was bonus episode number 5. If you haven't listened to it, you can become a patron at the Tavarish tier. Yeah. Anyway, let's hear about Mitch Whiting.
A lot of these people who say bullshit and think they actually said something worthwhile, and I want to introduce another character. This guy, his name is included in the thing, so I'm gonna say his name, but whatever. Mitch Whiting, which, by the way, this dude is the whitest guy I've ever fucking seen, so it's pretty relevant. He works at driving global e-commerce growth at Pattern, whatever that is, and he's a content creator. Okay, so he makes Call of Duty videos or something.
One of us.
But his
do not
soil
his name, Hakim.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. But his text is, I went to a wedding reception a few weeks ago and 5 people I have never met said, are you Mitch Whiting from LinkedIn? The first thought I thought, wow, what are the odds to run into someone from LinkedIn? By the fifth time, I had begun to understand the power of building a personal brand.
Oh,
hashtag
my,
LinkedIn,
oh,
hashtag
my,
personal brand, hashtag networking.
Oh my God, this is Satan. Satan lives among us and his name is Whiting. Like, it is... This dude crawled out of his mom's pussy and like annoyed her the second he got out. He got out, he didn't even cry. He was like, crying, it's for people without a personal brand. I must be building it now. I'm cringing so hard right now. I'm fucking squeezing.
His mother gave birth to him, and then she looked down and she's like, is that Mitch Whiting?
It's from LinkedIn.
Oh, fuck, I love it.
The sad part is, first of all, this didn't happen, obviously. But second, that is what his fantasies consist of. People recognizing him from LinkedIn. Come on, dude.
But you know, who stares that intently?
That meme with that guy standing in the corner of a party while everybody else is having fun. And it's me sitting there and saying, they don't know I have a big personal brand on LinkedIn.
They don't know I'm Mitch Whiting. Oh, fuck. I love it. Oh my Lord. But yeah, and by the way, this got like 180 claps or whatever the fuck, so clearly the powerful personal brand that he has. fuck.
Mitch Whiting goes for Easter to the Vatican at the Pope sees him and says, oh, Mitch, what up, man? Come up here on the terrace, man. We're going to be chilling. And even the random like tourists taking photos, they look up and it's Mitch Whiting next to the Pope. Mitch. And they're taking photos and they're like, who's that next to Mitch Whiting?
Oh, my God. Fuck.
Man, we really said his name a lot of times.
It's okay. It's kind of a fun. Hey, we're helping him build his personal brand.
Personal
okay?
brand, yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, please, yeah. Nobody, under no circumstances, go right to this. Please do not. That would be fucked up. Oh, my God. I laughed my ass off. He was re-listening to that shit. Oh, fuck it up, Mitch. Oh, I love you, Mitch. I love you, Mitch.
That was one of the most requested clips we have. Like, people are like, please, Mitch Whiting, please. Please, please.
This poor man did nothing but be cringe, and we just fucking pulled our dicks out and started pissing.
Oh. And we did it twice. We did it in another LinkedIn episode. We're
checked doing
in
it
on
for a third time now. We're really milking Mitch Whiting.
Hey,
yes,
you
really
know
does
he,
have
like
a great personal
said.
Brand.
Yeah, exactly yeah, right.
There you go.
In the JFK assassination video, you're watching in the background, and then you're like, wait, who's this guy getting shot in the foreground behind Mitch Whiting? <Yeah. laughs>
That's crazy. That was, well, I guess bonus episode 5, not episode 5. It wasn't probably wasn't that long ago, right? When was that?
95 weeks ago.
A while.
Jeez.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, that was one of our most highly requested clips. Mitch Whiting Begins. I have it titled. let's move on to another. This one also had multiple requests, and I don't quite know why. It's Ugopnik confusing a well-loved celebrity for a vegetable. Let's listen.
What?
Yeah. So basically, he by the way, I'm fairly certain there's something missing from his little, oh, I'm so impressed with your creativity, is they probably put his number at the end, and this was a weird roundabout way of sexually harassing this poor woman. But,
yep.
Fuck me.
But hey, props for fitting like 200 characters on the side of a coffee cup with a fat tip marker pen.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly. No.
He has the most delicate fucking embroidery writing that you've ever seen. All right. He has fucking fingers as delicate as okra. Okra is not delicate.
Okra's thick as hell, boy.
Yeah, baby. What's something? Fuck. Yeah, you know what I'm fucking getting.
Something
getting
thin, thin like Paris Hilton. Yeah. So you have two types of markers. You have a Paris Hilton marker and an Oprah marker.
he said okra. The
Oprah, man. I'm really fucking tripped, bro.
I said okra, not Oprah.
Well, yeah, I guess Oprah has a sister, Okra and Odra.
They're
yin and yang. Oh, but I'm crying. Yeah.
I don't remember. The thing I don't remember about this is, did you actually mistake her, what I said? Or did you genuinely say okra at first and I misheard?
No, I said Oprah. But
okay.
Did you think her name was Okra?
No.
I don't know.
Some sort of weird internalized phobia or some shit. Well, Paris Hilton and Oprah, and then I imagined an okra. And I was, oh my God, sorry.
Oh my God.
Oh, fuck you.
I don't like okra. Oprah, no, really. Oprah's annoying. But okra, the food, I've never enjoyed it. I've tried, what is it? Is it fried okra that everybody likes? I like peeled off a leaf of some fried okra, and it was okay with like some garlic and butter and stuff. But
look, we'll inshallah, once I'm over there, I'm gonna make you some proper Iraqi bamia, which is like a red red base, so a tomato stew with usually lamb bits and okra with some fucking rice. My boy, it slaps.
That sounds amazing. Just
absolutely love
it. Make sure that it's as thick as Oprah and not Paris Hilton.
Yeah, I'll be sure. Hey, you know what? Actually, I've noticed something, you know, probably you've noticed this also in other markets, Ugopnik, but when it's produce of your own country, usually it's the nice thick ones, right? But whenever you look for the same thing and you're abroad, it's always like the tiny little shriveled up versions, right? Whatever it may be. It can be fucking okra. It could be peaches, whatever. Mm. But okra, I've noticed this thing. It's like Iraqi okra is fucking nice and thick, boy. Even Turkish and Iranian, it grows really nice. But if you're anywhere else in the world, you get like these tiny, you know, like half your thumb sized fucking pieces. Huh. What the fuck are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah. Like, absolutely. In the Balkans, whenever I look around, everything is really nice and thick. And then I go to fucking Germany or something, and it's not.
The nice thing about Texas is that the
oh, you guys are really thick there.
We are. Yes, that's true. But I was specifically referring to our foods. They're very large.
I wasn't. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next one. This is from bonus episode 8. This was another highly requested one. It's Hakim's rant about our boy Gorby. So sit down and get yourself a drink. Prepare to relax for a little bit because he goes on for a while.
All right, and I think we can end it off with the best. We saved the best for last, which is this. Gorbachev feels his life's work being destroyed by Putin, close friends say. This was published in 2022 in Newsweek. Gorbachev should be fucking he should be put in a fucking pit, shovels, and then for
in
good
Minecraft.
Measure. This motherfucker needs
in
to be
Minecraft.
Hold on. I just want to know, how old is this fucking ghoul? This fucking demon? 91! 91! Dude, in Arabic, do you know what we say? What? We say, the devil doesn't destroy his own nest. That's what we say. Which this motherfucker is alive for 91 years, all right? Because he needs to accumulate in sin for the fucking garbage that he did. This motherfucker.
Oh my god.
Like, dude, at least Yeltsin was an out and proud fucking liberal cancer, right? But this dude still has this veneer of, oh, I was just well-meaning. Ooh, I didn't know what was going on. He posts the fucking, you know, the emoji with the two fingers pointing at each other and the fucking, you know, the twink eyes.
The big eyes.
Like, oh, I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I'd fucking, oh my god. Dude, my hate. Do you know? If you're aware of the short story, I have no mouth and I must scream.
Yeah.
There is the opening monologue, which is Am, and he's talking about hate, and he's talking about if it was written on every fucking 10 nanometers of his fucking circuits, of his kilometers and thousands of kilometers of circuits, it wouldn't be enough to be one billionth of the hate that he feels for him. That's what I feel for fucking Gorbachev. Jesus Christ, I got out of breath just saying that shit. Oh my god. And the thing is, do you know what annoys me? Is right now he's some fucking turtleneck wearing piece of shit liberal who comes on to the BBC and is like, oh, you know, I think I made the changes. You know, this is now no longer a people centric system. The fucking pursuit of profit.
Why this happened?
Like, Ibn al Kelb, like you didn't know.
This
you piece of fucking shit.
Everything go to shit. What meaningful?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Even his Pizza Hut left the fucking country.
Yeah. And he decided to show up in a fucking Pizza Hut commercial. Like, how badly do you have to hate your people and your nation? Dude, 11-year-old girls had to prostitute themselves because of your fucking crimes, you piece of shit. Do you not fear for standing before your Lord one day? What have you done? When will you learn? When will you learn that your actions have consequences?
No, he confused. He confused on why this happened.
Do you know the best part? And this is, personally, this is why I think I am 100% in certainty of the existence of the creator of the universe and everything that it includes, because this motherfucker is 91 years old and is not demented, doesn't have Alzheimer's. He's 110% fucking lucid. Every day he has to wake up and deal with the fucking crime that he committed. Oh my god, I hope it eats him up on the inside. But knowing him, he's probably like, yeah, oh, but you know, we just need a few more reforms until we're a social democratic paradise.
It would have been much worse. Yeah.
Gorbachev, environmental degradation threatens the planet. Oh, I wonder what could have changed that motherfucker. I wonder, maybe there was a system, possible. Oh, fuck. All right, geez, I'm going to fucking pop a blood vessel. Yeah,
let's end it. Let's let Hakim relax.
Radio Free Europe is the one to fucking... Gorbachev blames greedy Russian-Ukrainian leaders for 1991 Soviet collapse. Yes, Yanni. Gawad. Well, Yanni, Gawad. Fucking piece of shit. Okay. Enough. I'm done.
Thank you all for listening to this week's wonderful bonus episode. I hope you enjoyed Hakim's rant there. This was
former Soviet leader Gorbachev lost George H.W. Bush for political abilities and character. The motherfucker that bombed my country.
This has been the Deep Program. I'm JT.
I'm Yugopnik.
I'm Hakim. Fuck Gorbachev.
Oh, Jesus.
My blood pressure. Listening to that got my blood pressure up.
Yeah. I haven't stopped grinning this entire episode. I probably look like an idiot.
Oh my god.
That was an all-time rant. That was an all-time rant, I must say.
Hey, you know what? Now he's dead. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Okay. May his memory forever be tarnished and rusted and spat on. Okay. May his grave be turned into a gender-neutral bathroom.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next one, shall we? This next one is from bonus episode 15, where we are deep in
lots of bonus episodes of these ones.
Well, that's organized by alphabetical order.
Oh, I'm stupid.
Naturally, yeah. So this one is about sleep discourse.
No, all our bonus episodes are bangers. That's what you should join.
Imagine we made this whole episode because it's an ad. It's actually an ad for our Patreon.
That's a big brain play. Oh my god. Big brain play. All right, let's hear us talk about sleep. I'm on the other end of the spectrum of sleep appreciation. I'm a big sleep fan. The statistics say
cozy
that
boy.
The average person sleeps a third of their life. Well, my goal is to sleep one half of my life. I love sleeping.
Yeah, you're too cute. I have a mixed relationship with sleep. Sleep is like it's like a relative that you don't really like, but you have obligations towards. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. what sleep is to me. So I begrudgingly go and يعني أسلم, I say hi. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I need to, we need to do this thing. We need to get it over with. So then I sleep and I wake up. And it's always garbage. I wake up several times through the night. It's always the most superficial sleep. A fly could fart in the other room and I fucking wake up. It's the worst. Oh my God. Do you know what happened? I remember I was staying, my dad visited me, actually, this was years ago. He slept in another room, which was basically on the other side of the apartment. And he had his door closed. I had my door closed and everything. And he closed his... He had, typical boomer. He has his phone, and then he has the thing where he keeps his cards and information.
Folio.
Folio thing. And he just smacked it closed, right? And the noise of that smacking closed fucking woke me up.
Hakim's eyes pop open, the glass shattering sound.
Exactly right. Fuck me. But yeah, I completely get both of you. JT, you're a cozy boy. Eagle Nick, I completely understand. My prayer is before I go to sleep. I wake up, I'm like, all right, alhamdulillah, another day. But with napping, by the way, the point I was trying to make, the entire tangent is, it's never the right amount of light level, if you notice. It's always either too bright or too fucking dark. It's never like, oh yeah, I was expecting this.
My dad has one of the rooms in his apartment, has like a room that doesn't have any windows. Like, it's a completely internal room. And I can tell you that is like the best sleep I've ever gotten. It's pure 100% darkness. Like, absolutely no light goes into it. It's like in one of those dark tanks or whatever. But like, I love how Hakim mentioned that, you know, his relationship with sleep is like with a distant cousin that, you know, you gotta do something. I love that, because like I would use the same thing. Just there you go, the small difference between us. I'm never gonna talk to that fucking cousin like ever. Blood is thicker than water. Oh, no, dude. Motherfucker. No, it's not. Fuck off. You're a boring ass motherfucker. I don't give a hell. Give a shit.
Well, shit. I guess it makes sense then that the American is the one that loves sleep, because I'm gonna fuck that cousin. Tell you
what. Honestly.
Fucking perfect delivery there, JT. That was fucking class on top of class I upgraded it, and then you jumped in with that fucking beautiful American baseball bat, wearing that beautiful American cowboy hat, and ducked it straight out of the park and hit your cousin straight in the face. That was fucking sick. That was sick. And I really hope that your cousin wasn't listening to that. That's all I said.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Though I do look forward... Oh God! I shouldn't have said.
Fuck
it,
your cousin.
Yeah, no. I do look forward to being old and adopting that accent all the time. I'm gonna sit on my front porch. I'm gonna just be like, "Well, shit, looks like we got another storm rolling in today." Tell you what,
time to fuck my cousin.
But I love all the American Southern accents there, because they're all nice, slightly actually. Different. Texas is nice, like slow drawl like that. But then you got the Appalachian ones, which are like. Y'all hear NASCAR's going electric. How they gonna keep them cars from getting tangled up in all them stenching cords?
JT, you're my favorite Southern Belle, Southern Peach. What do people say?
Yeah, Southern Belle, yeah.
Hey, yeah, I know something.
Well done.
Fucking hell.
That's
I just imagine you in a fucking my mental image put you in a yellow dress that covers like your neck and down to your
like an Amish dress.
What's it called? The wrists. Yeah, exactly right. But you had a fucking wagon in my mental image. You had a fat fucking ass.
Why?
Oh, I don't know why. That's,
what can I
that's
say?
No
it's true.
Oh my God! Oh, I love it.
All right, let's move on.
The JT pussy.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. This is the last bonus episode on the list before we rewind and go back way back in time. This is the MP, the file is the Tata cunt, which is
then after this, of course, that we go back to India and they show the Tata cunt at this point, one of the current CEO of it, being served, and I kid you not, I'm not bullshitting you, he's being served breakfast by servants, several of them, who are referring to him as sir, And like every second, like, oh, here's your breakfast, sir. Oh, here you go, sir. Oh, is there anything else you might need? Like, on his every fucking beck and call, atop a skyscraper balcony in possibly the most opulent home I've ever fucking seen. It's literally, he has a home in the clouds on top of a skyscraper on a balcony, and the fucking camera pans up this stupid skyscraper through his home, which is just like all fucking marble and gold and fucking God knows what kinds of wood, right? The shiniest shit I've ever seen, onto this fucking balcony where it's him and his wife sitting and having breakfast as he's being served by uniformed and fucking like tailored and manicured servants who are, again, at his every fucking beck and call. And instead of like reflecting on this horrific show of opulence and extravagance and excess, this CEO asshole just starts talking about how he likes to eat soaked chia seeds with bullshit and celery fucking juice, and how this is how he begins his day. All right, of course this is work for him. Obviously they work so hard. It's hard to process fucking celery juice digested. Okay, it's part of his day shift, right? And of course, by the way, this dude is sitting atop this fucking this like Pharaoh's skyscraper bullshit, and he's talking about how he came from nothing. He's talking about how he came from nothing, and in the same fucking breath says, oh yeah, we had peasants who worked on our land and his family had to manage these they were literal kulaks, is what I'm telling you. Stalin did nothing wrong. Okay, these people need to be gulagged. I don't know what to tell you.
I realize we didn't say what that was from. That was when we had to. Who made us watch that? Ugopnik, was that you?
Yeah.
that was the Obama work documentary, quote unquote documentary series on Netflix. It's like 3 episodes long, 4 episodes long, and it was garbage.
Dog shit.
Oh, they tried so hard to make it look like it wasn't scripted, but it was so clearly scripted. It was the most cringe thing imaginable. If you haven't seen it.
We divided it amongst each of us, and we all watched the section. I think each section of ours couldn't have been more than an hour.
Yeah.
But the pain of trying to get through that fucking hour. The Tata in question is basically the Tata Corporation in India, which owns basically like all of India. And this is the guy who's the current CEO of it. Yeah, do go and listen to the fucking episode. The shit that they tried to get away with is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The more painful the content, the more painful the viewing experience, the better the reviewing experience. So I'll remember in the future and constantly try to find the most dog shite liberal shit for you to watch. I promise. It's a part of the program contract, baby.
We've got that to look forward to. Thanks a lot. Mm. All right. Let's now rewind to many, many months ago. This was way back in episode 5. So this was at the very beginning. So brace yourselves. This is before I learned how to level audio. So it's going to be all over the place. This is Ugopnik's soldier imitation.
But no, I remember the reason I even mentioned this movie is because I remember I saw a scene of it. I never watched this movie. But a scene of it is just like these American soldiers who are not in a country they're invading, by the way. They're just kind of like coming by, right? In quote unquote peacekeeping. Yes, peacekeeping. Mm. And then the next scene is just them killing random fucking black people. The idea they tried to get across is like, oh, they're evil militants in Somalia and they're trying in Mogadishu, as they fucking say, because they, God forbid, in America pronounces something right. And don't even get me started about how they fucking pronounce Arabic shit. Evil militants are attacking American soldiers. If the American soldiers were never there in the first place, they wouldn't be getting attacked. Okay, that's number one. But number two, and this is what always made me fucking like laugh, is that whenever they show American heroes like soldiers, they seem to be the only ones who know how to aim a gun and shoot, because everybody else is shooting into the air or like firing wildly, and you know, to connect that, sorry I have
to interrupt you before I forget it, and so it's always like there's a US squad moving in and they're like tango bravo left right 7 degrees forward
go
target,
go
shoot target, and when it's the militants they're always just suddenly
it's so fucking stupid.
And they're just screaming like attack, 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 enemy, attack. They're mentally fucking slow or something. I don't know.
It's the stupidest shit. It's so
the rags. It's the rags. It's too hot inside of the rags. It fucks them up.
Fuck me. My God.
Classic vintage Ugopnik racism.
Yeah. Not only is it, this thing I've listened to, like, I think 10,000 times now that I probably could quote it word for word for you. Oh my God! I think that one is my favorite bit.
I can't not watch a fucking war movie now without thinking about that particular moment.
Man, listening to that though, I hadn't learned how to edit audio, so it doesn't peak. Ugopnik still had his garbage microphone. Man, we've come so far, boys. It doesn't feel like it sometimes, but we've come so
far. Speak for yourself. Yeah. Speak for yourself. I'm still in my bed.
You graduated from underneath the bed to on top of the bed. True.
Oh, yeah, I used to record under my... This is still one I used to record under my bed. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, way back in the day. All right, let's...
Painful.
Let's continue, because we still got a lot to get through, but this one I'm particularly proud of, and I'm glad people like it so much. This is me when we're talking about... we're talking about Engels, I think, and here we go. Let's let's take a listen. I'm not going to spoil it. At the end of the day, we all need to... pick a side. Everything is authoritarian. The maintenance of the status quo is authoritarian and violent, and overthrowing it will require that same or greater authoritarian means, right? So if you decide that you want to call yourself a socialist, if you actually want a better future for yourself and your loved ones and future generations, then you need to pick the side of those, you know, the dirty authoritarian communists, or you have chosen to side with the forces of reaction that are currently mostly exporting their authoritarianism abroad, bombing the rest of the world. You might not experience it yet, but you are enabling that by choosing to sit in the middle of the road and consider yourself a moderate. So pick a side. Everything is authoritarian, and there is clearly the right side here.
Exactly right.
Which is left.
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly.
Anyway,
right.
to bookend it with another quote by Engels. Have these gentlemen ever seen these nuts?
they're definitely.
I have, and they're fucking glorious. You could use a shave, though. You know, I'm more of a modern type of guy. You know, it's all good, but.
I almost felt bad for cutting in such a beautiful monologue by JT and just saying a literal 11-year-old joke, but then he made me feel not as bad because he was always going to finish his rant with a fucking these nuts joke, so.
You gotta.
Hey, I learned from the master. What can I say?
But now, let's move on to episode 9. This one's just called Cracker Discourse. So, let's go hear this beautiful anti-white sentiment.
Everybody recording?
Yes. Yep. How are you doing, my fellow crackers?
Oh, no, we're on cracker discourse.
Please, okay, we're going to get fucking get not demoted.
We're going to get deplatformed from Buzzsprout.
Yeah, oh, no, fuck.
But no, in my opinion, the cracker discourse is weak because it does not put enough bodies in spaces which analyze the honky discourse. So enough bodies in spaces should be looking at the honky versus cracker discourse as well. Because I believe one is a bit more derogatory than the other one. Yes.
What does honky even mean?
I have no idea. I just heard it in like a porn movie
but
once.
It's a better word than cracker, I think, personally. It's more fun to say.
Okay. I mean, cracker is funny because you can always put up a picture of, like, you know, the like a salty cracker and then just...
Yeah, salty. Yeah.
Whenever there's a white guy says something you don't like, you can just put up a picture of a salty cracker. I like it.
But what does honky, like, imply that we look like donkeys or something? We. I'm not white. I'm Slavic. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to opt out whenever you want to.
The Turk blood in you prevents you from being white.
That was horrible. That was literally horrible. You're underplaying the imperialist hell that my people have gone through. It is typical for somebody who used to belong to the Imperial Ottoman core. The way you Arabs were the white people of the Ottoman Empire. And your yoke on the neck of the white man shall forever be remembered.
Yes. Oh. Yes, white genocide. White genocide is now.
fucking jokes aside, I can absolutely see this argument being used by like some French right winger or whatever.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. For sure, Jesus Christ. Oh my god, the cringe of them fucking going to North Africa and going to Berbers and be like, you guys are actually white. The evil brown fucking Muslim Arabs, as if Berbers weren't fucking, right? It was the Berbers who led all the conquests in Europe from like Spain into southern France, and they were, I can promise you, very Muslim. But yeah, it's stupid. But no, the before was jokes. I do not consider the Slavic people to be white.
No, it's fine if you do.
You're
no, please, give me the privilege, baby.
Well, seriously, that I think that's how it is. It boils down to, if you get the privilege of white guy, then you can be considered white. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
But me and Yugopnik, we walk down the street and they're going to be like, okay, Yugopnik is selling crack and I'm going to blow something up. So.
Oh, exactly. And probably one of, you're selling crack to me to sell to the good white people in order for me to sell the weapons to you from evil Soviet Union. We're reselling the weapons to the Arabs to do the shooty-shoot at the crackers, you know?
And exactly.
And like,
right,
yo, bro, how you doing, man? And he's like, nah, man, I'm giving you some crack to sell to the crackers. And I'm like, yeah, boy, and I'm giving you some weapons to shoot at the crackers. It's the United Anti-Cracker Front up in here, okay?
I'm feeling discriminated against.
Yeah, exactly. You should be. I don't, you know, like, I joke, but I wish white genocide was a real thing.
Oh my god.
We need to revitalize the United Anti-Cracker Force. Like, and how were we not banned for what the fuck is that in the end? Oh my god.
No kidding. It's a miracle we made it past episode 9. Here we are.
Hey guys, I was definitely joking. Wink, wink. I am definitely not a serious danger to any Caucasians in my vicinity. I'm kidding.
I think that was when Hassan got banned from Twitch for a while, right? For saying cracker. I think that's what brought up the cracker discourse. Yeah. Whatever happened with that?
That's so stupid.
Yeah,
it died like everything that dies.
Dude, there's some guy out there who's like measuring skulls live on Twitch. Amazing. And nothing's happening to him.
Have you guys seen the dude who edges the balloon?
What?
I'm sorry? Excuse me?
There's a dude who streams on Twitch for 8 hours a day. He's got this giant balloon in his room, and he keeps like going up to it with a needle, like he's going to pop it, and then it gets real close, and then like he'll brush it against it and then step back, and he just does that for 8 hours.
What the fuck?
Well, people throw money at him. But, he doesn't pop it. No, he never pops it.
Oh, my God.
But I love how innocent. There's
foul play. There's foul play there. Yeah. It's a thicker rubber or something.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, but no, I love how like beautiful, uncorrupted soul JT is, because he calls that edging, but like edging in my mind means something very different. And I think Akeem is like, laughing in a way that is confirming that, you know, what the fuck, baby.
Like some guy rubbing his dick against the fucking and I was like, oh wow.
That's
JT,
edging.
What's
edging
colorful?
Him. Edging the balloon is not gonna pop the balloon. Yeah.
What's colorful? The balloon. History.
The balloons are like, I'm gonna bust.
Please, oh my god.
Oh, please, Poppy Daddy.
Moving on. Oh, moving on. Let's go on to.
Thank you. all right.
I mean, we're recording this. This is the first episode I'm recording from the office space, and the walls here are very thin. I'm sure all the like neighbor offices are like, what the fuck are they doing?
Hey, Martha, give me the accounts for that LLC from 2017. I don't know. These nuts kill the crackers. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, here we have episode 12, and this one was... and I quote from the Discord, the person who requested this, an unhinged analogy I still think about almost every day. So let's hear what we're in for.
This is one that I think, Yugopnik, I would really like to hear what you have to say about this one. But capitalists, they create the jobs. Of course, where would we be without all the jobs the capitalists create? Yes, Yugopnik, please.
I just farted, and it might be a shart. Like, even though I have it on a list in front of me, like, it just makes me mentally suicidal. But okay, let's even take it completely at face value. Like, completely agree. Okay, yeah. Capitalist made the job, so he deserves his spot in the food chain. Well, okay, I don't know. Earthquakes, make your girlfriend come harder than you ever could. Maybe, and just maybe, we shouldn't have to shake up the whole continent for her to squirt. And maybe we shouldn't to exploit a worker in order to give them a job. If one bad thing leads to... Listen, baby, listen, listen. If one bad thing... I'm not talking to our listeners. I'm talking to people who use this argument. So follow my lips. If one bad thing leads to a good thing, you should... maybe try to find a different path to the good thing. That's called, I don't fucking know, progress.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was an unhinged analogy.
I love it. I love how you just ended it on a note, like, and that's what you call progress. Even a pause. Yeah.
Because, like, I guess at that point I was thinking, like, oh my God, did I just say earthquakes and making girlfriends come? What the fuck is wrong with me? So I was like, okay, so you call that progress. Like, I didn't want to say another unhinged thing. So I said, like, the most vanilla thing you could possibly imagine. At least knowing myself, that's probably where I was going with that shit. Oh, I deeply apologize. Yeah. Oh my God.
No, you have a beautiful mind. This is what we've come to expect from you. Just something that none of us would ever think of in a million years, and you find a beautiful way to say something entirely.
This motherfucker just called me special. You motherfucker. Oh, come on. You just did an ableism on me, motherfucker.
No.
I love it.
Let's move on to episode 13 here. This was during the whole, Cuba has an evil brain ray that they use to blast Americans. And,
based.
This episode, or this.
How can I donate to the Cuban death? Yeah,
honestly. This one is entitled JT Contracts Havana Syndrome. Well, dear listeners, I have a bit of very bad news to relay to you. I recently became aware that I have contracted Havana Syndrome, and I don't. I was in Cuba, and I was, it was just going through my morning routine. I was on my fourth mimosa, and I had just finished planting some landmines around an orphanage, and I started to feel kind of icky. I determined that it's Havana Syndrome. I've been shot with a deadly Cuban brain ray, and I probably need advanced healthcare for free for this. So just wanted to let you guys know, keep you in the loop.
I like how the entire premise of that bullshit was, as an American citizen, you're not entitled to healthcare unless you're going to go and fucking terrorize a third world country. Then, you know, we'll foot that bill. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I really hope whatever state apparatus of the countries that I stay in adopts the same thing, because finally my degenerate alcoholism can turn into a real disability and I can retire and not have to do this goddamn podcasting thing anymore. I will force Hakim and JT to pay off disability payments to me, and they will not be able to fight it because they're communists, and I will make sure they're canceled everywhere. So it's just it just works so well for me. Thank you, CIA.
That's the big brain play. Big brain.
Exactly right. So the biggest recent L of the CIA has basically been Havana these nuts. That's what we have to share. I'm
sorry. Actually, very specifically, they just said Havana not getting these nuts, which we can...
Yeah.
Exactly right, yeah. For those who are unaware, there was a conspiracy theory of sorts that was actually endorsed by the American government that Cuban officials or the Cuban intelligence agencies and the government had used some special brain ray or some fucking bullshit, some 1950s cartoon bullshit to basically, was this supposed to just make them feel bad or was it supposed to cause heart attacks? I don't know what the fuck
it is, but... They couldn't describe it. They said that it just had, vague feelings of sickness or, discomfort, and the symptoms varied by person, so it's very hard to nail down exactly what this ray does. But so it's obviously just these dudes who maybe grew a conscience for, murdering these people in foreign lands. But no, it's got to be like a death ray.
Yeah, exactly right. Basically, what they're saying is that the Cubans have developed a death note, and they say there's no innovation under socialism. My favorite part about that clip is I remember we looked up an article on NCBI, an actual scientific article on the Havana syndrome, and the like acronym of the title was SUS.
So fucking stupid.
I loved the Havana syndrome arc. That was back when the simulation TV was good. Now it's just depressing, but man, Cuban brain rays. Oh, that was good.
Yeah, we'll get more stuff. Hey, look, we got what's his name? The Canadian fucking benzo addict. What's his name? Jordan Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
And he posted the fucking milking Chinese milking machine.
Yeah,
machines.
That was good.
He was like, oh my
that
god,
that was content.
Fuck. Dude, he believed that shit.
Yeah.
He fucking saw that. I was like, this is what the Chinese, this is what the CCP, ooh, by the way, it's CPC, but anyways, this is what the CCP is doing. He's fucking making people come buckets.
Look at what they're doing at CNBC.
Anyway. They're making them itch. can you please say that I'm about to bust? But Mitch Peterson voice, please.
I'm about to bust. All right. Rewinding back again. Let's go back to episode 14 when Hakim relates a story to us about when he was a small boy and he met one of the bravest people on Earth.
Of course. So this reminds me, this is kind of, I guess, semi-related, but when you mentioned about how, you know, that they, with intervention and whatever, and that white Americans haven't actually experienced this, there's something so surreal about American interventions. I'm going to give an example of my own life. I remember when the invasion first happened, this was in like early 2004. And I remember basically I was just chilling outside my home and I saw like there was a bunch of like American soldiers coming and a tank comes across basically. And the tank basically like just stops, like I guess they park it or whatever in front of my house basically.
Jesus.
And outside the top, you know, the thing like where the soldiers can come out, this black guy comes out and he just like has a lollipop with him and he's just minding his business, fucking sucking on this lollipop. And I remember I made eye contact with him and he made eye contact with me. And it was like 5 seconds of us just like looking at each other and then we went on our way. But I'm just trying, like, white American, listen to this. Imagine if one day you leave your house and all of a sudden you see an Iraqi tank with an Iraqi guy that just pops up and he's like, what's something that is very Iraqi? He's like fucking, he's eating kletcha or something, or zlabi, which is like a weird like syrupy thing. Yeah, Iraqis know what zlabi is. A very, very pleasant pastry. And he just like pops out and he's just like munching on the shit. And then you look at him and he kind of looks at you and you just have a moment for a second where you're just kind of looking at, you acknowledge each other, but neither of you, in your eyes, you can tell that neither of you know why you're there.
Yeah.
That makes sense. and then he just goes on his way. Imagine that. Just imagine that for a second, how weird that sensation is. And then you have the gall to come at me and be like, oh, conspiracy theorist. Fuck you.
Yeah.
My lord.
Was that classic. The only experience you had with an American soldier?
Oh, no. I've had several that are unpleasant, several of them that are, you know... I'm trying to think. None of them are funny, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Except the one where you planted the mine and, like, his leg, like, flew off,
oh,
like,
God.
In a funny way, like, 360.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but that one I told
no-scope. You. Oh, shit. I wasn't supposed to talk about it. Oh, fuck.
That one's was said in confidence.
They're joking. They're joking. Please, the CIA.
We are joking.
Yes, exactly right. Mm-hmm. I remember one time there's an American soldier also on my street, and he had this fucking Rambo thing around him. He had like the bullets slung around him. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the bandolier.
Yeah, exactly right. But it was shells of some kind. Now my memory's a bit hazy. They weren't like bullets. They were shells.
Probably grenade
but he didn't
launcher
have
stuff.
A,
yeah.
I have no. I don't remember now. I was very young at this point. Very early on in the war, this was, and I remember. He did not. The reason I remember this person is because the gun he had, the ammunition was not for the gun he had. The things they had in the Bentley was just for show. And I found it so fucking funny. And I was like, why is this guy? And I didn't know what the word was when I was a kid, but now I understand he was LARPing.
Yeah.
Why the fuck is he LARPing? He's already here. It didn't make sense. But yeah, amongst other stories.
Jeez. We're moving on now to to another good series. We've got some stuff in here that I'm proud of, boys. This was a good string of jokes. I'm not gonna say the name of this file because it'll spoil the joke. But this was when we're talking about during World War II when Stalin ratioed Hitler.
It's socialist infighting, you see. I'm very smart. Pee pee poo poo.
All of World War II was just socialist infighting, don't you guys know?
Factional dispute. Fucking.
The precursor to Twitter drama.
Hitler was like, maybe Trotsky was right, and Stalin was like, oh, go fuck yourself. And but Poland was like, oh, I like Mao more than all of you guys. So that's why they agreed on fucking up Poland. But then after that, had to deal with, the Trotsky question. I'm kidding. We have a ton of listeners at this point, so there's probably like a 0.1% chance of one of our listeners right now hearing me say this and actually Googling, did Stalin attack Hitler over Trotsky? That would be absolute gold. And it probably just happened. As you are listening, and if it's not you doing it, somebody in some godforsaken corner of this planet is doing this right now. Just to explain just how downtrodden we all are. I mean, sorry for the doomer pill, but we are.
Please, okay. The actual historical fact is that Stalin ratioed Hitler, and that was the entire that's the reason the war started. Okay,
that's right. That's why he killed himself.
Exactly. Yeah, he got ratioed. All right. He told him he was like he depicted him as the soy Wojak, and every time he would reply, he'd get another ratio, and then he couldn't put up with it anymore. So he was like, you know what? Death is a preferable alternative.
Oh, Stalin's just sending memes like no Lebensraum.
That's so fucking. Oh fuck. Oh my god.
No limits now.
Jesus Christ.
That was one of my finest bits.
Genuinely. My god.
That I love that meme. The stupid what's his Megamind. God, that was a dumb. When did that meme when was that birthed?
No idea.
Don't fucking ask me. Meme lifetimes.
Honestly, it's going to be such a fascinating field of study. You're going to have like meme historians, like archivists of like internet culture.
I'm like, oh yeah, fucking Le Cringe, the Reddit army has arrived. Oh, and then they're going to have to write essays on it, fucking hell.
Like the Dark Ages of memes. 30,000
pages on NAFO, oh my god.
Yeah. Oh my god, no. I would rather kill myself, genuinely. Jesus.
Like originally, it sounds like, oh my god, that's going to be such a great major. That's going to be so much fun. And then, you know, I'm going to like go on shows and talk about memes. It's going to be the best life. And then you have to write the fucking PhD thesis on fucking Le Troll Face. And you're just fucked forever.
High suicide rate, that field of study. High suicide rate. Okay.
Not as psychopathic as doctors. They get PTSD immediately when they fucking operate on a meme.
All right, this one, we still haven't put this on any merch, and people keep asking us to. Let's go back to episode 39, the origin of the legendary Hubba Bullub.
Oh god, I'm dying already.
Just fucking getting roasted. I won't put it beneath them. I remember when he got COVID, there was this big fucking Hubba Bullub. What do you again?
Hubba Bullub.
It's Hubba Bullub.
Hubba Bullub.
It's still hullabaloo.
Oh fuck! I pulled something. Fuck you, it's hullabaloo now. That's such a fucking Arab fuck up.
We're printing hats with hubbubulub on it.
I don't even know if it would be racist for me to do that. But it's
no, you can ululate if you want. I was gonna say there's my point. What I was trying to get at is there was all this fucking bullshit at this hubbubulub, all right, about him having COVID, and they released it like an official thing. It's like with the complete transparency of as part of our democracy, we're gonna be giving live updates on the president's condition. I'm like, what fucking
That, I like how you just, I was ranting, so you cut me
off.
Yeah,
I was like, we're done with this clip. That's such a classic. Oh, man, such good memories with you sweet boys. It makes me so happy to reminisce.
Hi, baby.
All right.
Well, oh, my God.
We always get ourselves in quite a lot of hubble-a-bubs.
We do. Mm. We do. We get up to some nonsense. Let's here's a Ugopnik clip. We haven't done many Ugo clips. This is when Ugopnik goes to renew his gun license, and he is a model, upstanding citizen who follows all the rules.
Fucking cunt. Funny enough, I have a conversation starter here that intersects both of you's cultures. One is about guns, which is JT's culture, and the other one is about hospitals, which is Hakim's culture.
You shot up a hospital.
Almost. I almost got there. Trust me. But then I remember this podcast has patrons. I have, some leftover money. So I went with the direction of corruption. Now everybody's confused. What the fuck is he talking about? Every 5 years, anybody who has a gun license here, which is already a relatively difficult thing to do, one which I do have, every 5 years you need to go for a medical checkup, which in my opinion is a perfectly legitimate thing to request from someone who has a thing that catches on fire and shoots a fucking missile out of it. So I went there, and obviously all the criticisms coming in from our Western friends about public healthcare being extremely slow and shit were actually incorrect. But I ended up going there exactly at a time when a bunch of students that just graduated from driving school, now 18, not 12, the way they are allowed to be in the U.S., they had to go through, the same doctors as me. And after I waited for 20, 30 minutes, I considered going the American route, because you have to understand, JT is like one of my angels on one of my shoulder, and Hakim is the other angel. And sometimes they turn into the devil or the angel. They influence my life profoundly. So there I could have gone the JT American route and violently point my gun at people so that they move out of the queue so I can get my eyes checked, go to a neuropsychiatrist, get my hearing checked, my heart rate, etc. But I chose to go with the Iraqi / Hakim way, which is basically go to the first doctor and give him $50 so that he helps me go through the whole process much quicker. He literally smiled from one ear to another, grabbed me by the hand, and literally cut me in front of all of the normal people who I don't feel bad because there was no old people there and nobody was hurt. These were just kids waiting to get their fucking driver's licenses. And I was like, I'm getting a gun license, much higher level than this fucking shit. And then he just walked me around all the spots. I even bragged for a second. I'm like, one of my best friends is a doctor, actually. Thank you, sir, so much. So I guess in this circumstance, the little angel on my right, the Hakim's voice overtook this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. It would be headlines. This is why we should permanently ban guns. Guy waiting for a gun medical checkup actually uses gun because he cannot wait for checkup. It would be a pretty decent headline. I would click on that shit.
Well, you taught all those kids a very valuable lesson about how to get ahead in life.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, corruption in an already corrupt world, is it really corruption? Ha ha ha, I'm a Greek philosopher. That was very deep. Yes.
Exactly right.
What other, perhaps, slightly unethical life tips do you have for our audience today?
I have so many that I've given throughout many episodes that they can go back and rewatch. The last one is how to get a MacBook at 30% less money by ordering it from another country and then not paying VAT tax on it.
Big brain.
Yeah. And in future episodes, look out for Ugopnik advice on how to get away with bad shit.
All right.
You know what? Bad is a state of mind and subjective.
Of course, yeah. Absolutely.
Especially when it comes to skipping the line on to the dentist or whatever. But you did, okay, in your defense also, aside from that, your gun renewal and everything else, the few times you needed it, you did technically need it. I mean, you had a hole in your tooth at one point, a hole in your tooth, a hole in your face, in your jaw. So I think that qualifies, but anyways.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, let's keep going here. We're getting into the middle age of Deprogram now, episode 43, titled Hakim in the Dark.
Do you to this day like get any like confused fucking neighbors about like what the fuck do you do? Because I'm in a new place now, and right now it's literally 12:30, and I'm shouting about this shit, and I'm waiting for a knock on my door at some point, and honestly I have no idea how I would explain it, because most of the people living here are like 50 plus, so probably it would be easier to say, I don't know, I'm like talking to myself, than to explain to them what a fucking podcast is, right?
I mean, it's Monday. They're all drunk, right?
Racist.
Basically.
Shut the fuck up. God. Racist. Okay.
I love all of Hakim's stories. They make me so happy.
Habibi, I love you. My thing is I have to close my windows, right? I remember I told you once where I felt... I'm not even going to fucking rehash this. When I was in uni, I would sing aloud, very loud, and the walls were very thin, and I would sing in the various political songs that I enjoy in their variety of languages, and then I would go out into the hallway, and then always there'd be people who'd be like, oh yeah, like your dad likes to sing a lot, and I'm like, I'm the old person in this apartment. There is no... But yeah, so they thought that some boomer was unhinged, and
yeah. Oh. All right, well... Let's move on from Hakim being a serial killer in the dark to JT being a serial killer when it comes to cats.
Cat team, motherfucker. Actually, Hakim, cat person or dog person?
I am... Okay, look. I am definitely a cat person, but I don't like dogs.
Exactly same. I love dogs. Yeah. I love dogs. Yeah. But if somebody gave me a gun and was like, shoot this cat or shoot this dog, I would shoot myself.
That cat would be gone. Okay. I tell you what.
Fuck you. You gave me... Then I shoot JT with that fucking bullet. Yeah. What?
Dude, yeah. JT has dogs, so he puts
himself
in that.
I've got dogs, yeah. I am
It's like
biased.
An unknown cat versus the people... The people. Oh, Jesus. The animals that he sleeps with, probably. Do you do that?
I thought you were a man of superior quality, but
Here's the thing. I love all animals. They're amazing. In a different life, I was like some kind of animal worker. Yeah. But I am very, very allergic to cats, so I can't be around them, which is very sad.
I was just going to say, JT, I just imagined you as you know the... you know when you're like when there's like a kid's party and you want to bring like lizards for them to touch, and you're the guy who wears the short wears cargo the pants that are like the beige and the hat with the fucking puka shells around. Yeah. I imagined you as that, and the image is like it's beautiful.
Very
it's
wholesome, actually, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. I can imagine that. Oh, that's cute.
JT in another life being an animal worker and having a cat and a dog, and one like just spontaneously the cat is called Yugopnik and the dog is called Hakim, or vice versa, I don't know.
Actually,
cat is definitely Hakim, because like a cat sounds like Hakimi, and it's a good boy, Yugopnik, good boy sounds better for a dog, so it works.
Yeah, you're right. Honestly, though, I love animals. I wish I could be like, I don't know, like I watch documentaries about the people who work with the great apes and stuff, and they're so fascinating. And once I met a miniature pony at like some... I was officiating a wedding.
And you were like, man, I wish you had a dick that big.
No. And I was just... It was before the wedding, so I was just vibing and hanging out with the animals. Like they had some goats and stuff, and there's a miniature pony. And they had some like little treats out that you could give them, some little pellets. And so I get a handful of these pellets, and I go give them to the miniature pony, and he takes the pellets. And then this little asshole chomps my arm as I'm trying to leave. He's like, you dick, I was just giving you little treats. Okay, whatever. Anyway, I'm a big fan of all animals except miniature ponies now.
JT proceeded to murder her.
I shot the horse.
And then he said, no, man, they gave me a gun with a bullet, and I said, my dog or the pony.
Oh, yeah, it'd be the pony. No question asked. All right, let's go. There aren't that many JT impersonations in here. There are a couple. But here's one that was heavily requested, and this is Zoomer George Bush. My fellow Americans, it is with great sadness that I must report that BOFA has collapsed. Many have asked me, what's BOFA? To which I respond, BOFA D's Towers. I can say with full conviction that these attacks were not bussing for real. We will find the people responsible for this evil act and bring them to justice. No cap. I couldn't help myself.
you really played the junior in George Bush Jr. Fuck, that was so good.
Oh. Hey, welcome to the Deep Program, episode 46, everybody. I hope we didn't start off too heavy or too offensive. If you haven't already determined from the title of the episode and my very bad impression of George W. Bush as a Zoomer, we are talking about 9/11.
9/11!
I just ended. It's like, 9/11.
That was a fun one. That was great.
You have a great talent for impressions. You really do.
Oh, shucks. You're too kind. I had forgotten about that one. I'm surprised so many people liked it. But that was fun, if probably a little offensive to some people. But that's okay. We're getting closer to real time. I don't know. Here's another episode. Episode 48, JT snaps over climate change. This is when we were reading through Conservapedia, I believe, yeah. And they had an article on climate change, and I was just slowly descending into madness. Here you go.
Another horror show that I made you guys go through.
Oh, yeah, that was you. Mm-hmm. You keep doing this to us. Why?
Oh, my God. It makes good content.
Yeah. All right, but moving on. So I scrolled through the rest of it. It's all garbage, but towards the end of the page, under the section Effects of Global Warming, their only real subheader is Beneficial Effects of Global Warming. And the photo they chose, it's a dude in a canoe by some trees with like colorful fall leaves. It's like it could be in a pamphlet for like Visit New York or something like that. The article states, and I quote, "In areas that see extreme cold temperatures, deaths related to colder weather would drop significantly, leading to decreased healthcare costs, while areas that already have hot climates will see no increase. Warmer temperatures would also mean less energy used to heat homes and buildings, helping to conserve energy as cooling is much more energy efficient. With the changes brought about by global warming, more land that is not lost to desert and or rising sea levels would become available for uses like farming and living. Forests and plants would grow stronger, healthier, and more abundant because of the warmer weather, and this would mean more oxygen being released into the atmosphere." Okay, first of all, there's so much going on here. First of all, hot climates will absolutely see increases, as will places with temperate climates. We've literally seen roads buckling from heat waves in the U.S., and parts of Texas are on track for 130 degree days in the next 20 years. This is common sense stuff. This is stuff we've been tracking for years, and it's every single time the data.
130 is 54 Celsius for the people.
When it gets hotter, let's even imagine like people are not running away from there. They say people are going to use less energy for heating, but then they're going to start using it for cooling. You dumb prick! Have you ever heard of air conditioning?
I don't remember the exact number, but if I remember, in Saudi Arabia, I think like 40% of the electrical output goes directly to AC units.
But they kind of give the game away here by saying land that is not lost to desert and or rising sea levels. Fucking morons. Oh yeah, a lot of the globe will become uninhabitable, but we might be able to grow corn in Siberia. You fuckers, you dumbasses.
The people who die will die, but the people who survive, they won't die. Yeah, so, they won't die. You know, that's
when you get your fucking arm sawed off, your heart will live longer because it's not going to have as much blood to pump. I am very smart.
It's just exhausting. It's like, you people, you cannot keep claiming this stuff. We all know that it's happening. You can look around and see this. Like, Colorado is always on fire. Greece is on fire. Australia is on fire. The coastlines are sinking. There's nothing
left.
They'll
just sell their homes,
here.
Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
They'll just sell their homes.
Just Australia deserves it, but everywhere else, yeah, pretty sad.
But that was the thing on climate change. It's they can die on that hill if they want to. They're literally going to die, but I guess if not if they're on a hill, that's high ground. But you know, Jesus Christ. Moving on. I don't lose it very often, but man.
Yeah, but it's beautiful.
Oh, reading that. Even thinking about it now, I'm like, you awful, stupid cretins. You swine. The climate change stuff really gets me worked up. It's like, we've known this stuff since the 70s. What can you do? Now, this is this next clip is actually from the very same episode, and this is Ugopnik's part, that he was absolutely tickled reading about a new strain of communism called Obamianism.
These dudes, like, these dudes actually, without even blinking twice, added a section under, quote, types of socialism called, get ready for this, Obamianism. Obamianism.
No. Oh, my God.
Oh, to quote, critics of Obama administration have coined the word Obamianism to describe Barack Obama's socialistic and fascism-light economic planning policies. They also like throw...
Economic planning?
Yeah, because it's Obamacare. It's obviously Marx, like in the beginning of Das Kapital, you know, he writes, Obamacare, this is our goal.
Wasn't that like Mitt Romney's policy originally? And then it wasn't even a Democrat.
Like, they don't source anything. They just give an opinion. The only thing that, because they had to like put something that they put there, they throw in that, you know, the famous quote about how one of Obama's key advisors at the time said that like her favorite thinker was Mao, which, yeah, proves that she like had his... her little hands right into Barack Obama's mind and like was giving him Mao quotes fucking every morning.
do they answer the critical question, what is Obama's last name? Is that stupid story, stupid joke? I was gonna say the fucking you know what, this podcast, we now uphold Obamaism thought, okay? Yeah. Eternal, that Obama's the sun that doesn't set. All right, fuck me.
I'm a proud Bushist and Bidenist. Don't come up in here with this fucking
with this revisionist Obama bullshit. Obamaism. Okay.
Now, let me be clear. Right. You have nothing to lose but your chains.
Oh, you're so good at this shit. Oh, my God. Oh, fuck.
There's another impersonation.
I love them so fucking much. I hope we have your Peterson ones on here.
There,
they are.
Yeah, there's at least one. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm so glad.
Dear listener, it is 4:39 p.m. where I am. So let me do the math real quick. So it's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's like midnight where the boys are. So
it's more than past midnight, my guy.
pour one out for the boys. We're getting through this. All right. Oh, this is a good one coming up. This might be my finest moment on the show, and it got a lot of requests, which I'm very glad for. This next one is from episode 54, when we are listening to... Who assigned this one? Hakeem, I think this one was you.
I think I was the one who found the CIA.
Yeah, the CIA has a podcast, right?
Yeah.
And so we all assigned some episodes of the podcast to listen to, and it's about as bad as you'd expect. But here's the end of that episode, my rant about the CIA. You are too good for the CIA. Yeah, Every single person who works for the CIA is a bad person. Period. It doesn't matter if you're a big important spy or you're like a scrawny little dude getting coffee for the boss. You're perfectly good, you know, you're perfectly capable of doing CIA work. You don't need to do it. You don't need to feel compelled to go and cause this chaos and death and destruction and just unrest everywhere in the world. That's why people don't apply, you know, CIA recruiter guy. It's not that they're, you know, they're afraid they don't have the qualifications. It's because they have a conscience, which is something that these people clearly lack, or they have suppressed very effectively, in which case they are truly lost, in my opinion, truly beyond saving. So in summary, a message to the host of this show: fuck you, Walter. Fuck you, D. Fuck you,
nuts.
D's nuts, D. Yeah,
D's nuts. Yeah. You will all be remembered as monsters and criminals. Your children and grandchildren will be ashamed of you. Whoa. You've blackened a branch of your family tree, and you will be hated until you are finally forgotten. The CIA deserves to be destroyed. That's all. That's the summary of my episode.
Get fucked.
Ugopnik is tickled.
Oh my God, I'm hard, baby.
I mean, hey, D and Walter, if you guys want to come on the show and talk about some of your classified work.
God. Yes, please. 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 Yes, we will.
There is a way for you to be forgiven. Yeah, we take it back. But it needs to be an active process.
You know, we are here to take your confession. Just drop us a line. We've got an email address. Shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you.
If you want to come on the podcast.
Here's the thing, though. It's not going to be scripted. We're going to actually ask you questions, and you're actually going to have to answer. But we would love to hear you defend yourself. So get it focus grouped. Listen to this podcast in your next party, and we'll see you soon.
I can't wait till they make a fucking TikTok account. ACAA, please make a fucking TikTok account. Like, we want more content, okay? And even if they don't, we need to revisit this fucking podcast of theirs. There's probably like 100 episodes there now, so it should be easy pickings, easy pickings.
Absolutely. Oh, man, if we could... I still want to get Walter and Dee on the show. Can we invite them on the show?
I'm down. Oh, I'm definitely down.
That would be...
But they won't... They're gonna leave weeping, sadly, and then they're gonna call Drone Strike.
Yeah, maybe it's not worth it. All right, let's move on. Let's go. Oh, here's a rare guest appearance in the requests. This is Balkan Posting with Hassan.
I'm a little bummed that we're not doing the camera on right now because I am currently wearing a Dua Lipa shirt. I did wear my Dua Lipa shirt on purpose. We are all Albanian on this day.
We are.
Exactly right.
You know, she is. I mean, obviously, I shouldn't get started with the Balkan Posting this early. But, you know, just wanted to let you know that I am currently wearing a Dua Lipa shirt.
Honestly, even the staunchest anti-Albanian, you know, Serb or Montenegrin or Bosnian... when they listen to Dua Lipa, the Yugoslavia starts re-emerging in our dear souls, which includes Albania.
Yes.
People forget the bunkers.
If she was a Tito, she would be unstoppable.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes.
Exactly right. Shame she was Albanian, not some mixing of all your ethnicities. Then she would have been actually the
new Tito. No, she's probably... she's super mixed between all the other ones, and our Albanian listeners are probably going to lose their shit. I know a shit ton of Albanians, right?
JT, they're all Turks, bro.
I got shit-faced last night with an Albanian. This dude was like meter 60, 65, so that in American freedom meter, like units, I have no idea how much that is. But all Albanians are very, very short motherfuckers. But the closer you go towards, you know, Kosovo, the closer you go to Serbia, the taller they become. And as we all know, Dua Lipa is a very tall Albanian woman.
Do you hear
woman.
The race realism?
Yes, hardcore.
Right,
I'm sorry. I'm fine.
This is legit, like, skull measuring.
I was
going to
say, I hear the calipers coming
height
out.
Height measuring. Okay, there is no difference between people based on head size. I think Hassan will approve this because he's a small baby boy. Actually, you're not. But the closer you go to Serbia, the taller the fucking Albanians become, which is why, obviously, inter-ethnic mix. So basically my argument is, no matter how much Dua Lipa does not want to admit it, her, just like all peoples of this world, are also part Serbian.
Well, can you explain that? Actually, Hassan, since we actually have you on the podcast, could you explain the you having a small head meme? I don't get it. You have a regular size head. Is there something I'm missing?
Thank you for saying that. I have PayPal'd you. Oh, wait. PayPal doesn't work in Iraq, I think. So I will be using... What the fuck could you use as a payment processor?
International wire, and then afterwards basically be harassed at
or
the
G-Bucks.
Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. That's awesome. Right.
I always love it when you people descend into Balkan Posting. I feel so left out. I have no right to post with you guys. I'm just, it's like that meme with Squidward looking out the window of his house and he sees SpongeBob and Patrick running around outside. That's what I feel like when you start Balkan Posting. I hope you know.
But that's, you need to engage in more war crimes over
there.
True. On your own soil, and then it'll work.
I'm always like half terrified when I talk about the Balkans because like we're all the same, and the only like differences that exist between us are social constructs that we've created, and they're usually extremely bigoted and racist. Oh wait, that's not just the Balkans, that's literally the whole planet. Oh, why don't we all just get along? I am 12. Unironically, the Balkans are like a kind of microcosm of the world, and very fun to explore that way, but it's difficult not to sound like you are literally believe in what's that race science thing called,
eugenics.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, here we are. This is, we finally arrived at Hakeem's long-awaited Jordan Peterson impression. I don't think I have a very good impression of Jordan Peterson because I have never actually listened to the man. I've only listened to like the YouTube poops of him.
This guy will be this industry, right? And he will never explore like these insane reactionary motherfuckers and so on. But then he will sit down, like make a video and sit down and read like thousands of comments under his fucking video, including some monkey ass imbeciles that are just like saying stupid shit. And he would actually get angry over it. It's a weird sort of masochism that you explore right there, buddy. Because like if you explored masochism through watching the Petersons and Crowders of this world, you would get something out of it actually, and that is content. But also probably a few brain tumors.
Yeah, I think my thing is I know the commenters are stupid and they have no power, and I can just ban them, which is fun. Whereas, like, I can't do anything about Peterson. Like, he's there taunting me if I watch his stuff. Oh, blah. Anyway,
he came to like do a show or whatever in the country I'm at, which is like fucking insane, right?
Really?
He travels the world, and he gives talks. Yeah, he makes literally tens of millions just from talks. I cannot say that I did not consider it for a moment to just go and shoot the motherfucker, but I didn't. So yeah.
Well, probably for the best that you remain out of prison and on the podcast. Anyway, here is Jordan Peterson pitching our news show, First Thoughts.
So, guys, who do you think the biggest competitor to Send News is at this point?
I don't know. Maybe CNN, BBC, or my pals over at Al Jazeera.
No, that's mainstream, lamestream news. Real comrades only get my news from the only reliable source on the internet. The only show which admits its biased reporting. First Thought over on YouTube. 3 times a week, all the news you need. You can go live your life as a good little lobster who wrote this.
Link in the description below.
Link in the description below.
Lay on the bed and give me head.
While watching First Thought. We need to fucking upload that independently on fucking YouTube. No, this needs to play before every episode. Oh my God. Yes. I am not even kidding. I am not even kidding. Yes.
It's his veto. JT is using his veto.
No, dude. And we can use that like AI thing and make it look like Jordan Peterson is saying those fucking words, like his mouth opening in the beginning of every episode. Dude, that is class shit, bro. I'm a fucking genius.
Oh. Yeah, and we're going to get absolutely sued into oblivion. Oh. All right, moving on. Let's bring her home here. We're on episode 86, so we're getting real close. This one is my little conclusion rant on the... Or not rant. This was a little just a conclusion from the assassinations episode. This is such a bummer because Ugopnik and I put a lot of work into this episode, and then for some reason, Spotify screwed up. And it had the James Rewald episode, which was really good, a great episode, but it had that twice instead of this one. So a lot of people were not able to listen to it. So if you're hearing this now and you haven't gone back and looked, I checked. Spotify has fixed it. You can now go listen to our very well-produced, I would say, episode on the JFK, MLK, RFK, and Malcolm X assassinations. But here's the conclusion of that episode. So there you have it. There's the 4 main political assassinations within the U.S. And there are more. I mean, we didn't even touch on like Fred Hampton of the Black Panthers. But at the end of the day, this is all unconnected stuff. It's just speculation if we don't understand the why. So what does all this mean? The 60s were a time of tremendous upheaval, both in the U.S. and around the world. You had a massive anti-war movement. You had the rejection of traditional values. You had giant protests in all corners of the world met with violent police action. You had the Black Panthers stepping up their resistance to police brutality. You had high-profile assassinations all over the place, including nearly every American figurehead in the struggle for black liberation. These profoundly working-class, anti-establishment, and especially black uprisings really threatened the liberal status quo. Emancipatory language and revolutionary rhetoric was on the rise in a big way, and the U.S. couldn't let it get out of hand. The FBI's COINTELPRO was instrumental in infiltrating and undermining left-wing liberation movements, and had a hand in the murder of countless activists. One of the things that really sparked some of this disgust with the status quo was the Vietnam War. For really the first time in history, U.S. citizens were exposed to the horrors of war up close and personal. They could watch newsreels in their living rooms every night. Disenchanted soldiers torching villages, killing women, children, and non-combatants, and of course the loss of countless thousands of young Americans who were dying in an unjust and unpopular war for the benefit of the upper crust of society. So, blood for the blood god, the U.S. did what it does best. It killed the people that said there was a better way. It crushed the hope of a budding revolutionary movement by decapitating the organizations and groups at the forefront of the struggle. MLK and the Civil Rights Movement. JFK and his naive belief that the U.S. could contribute to world peace. Malcolm X and his black revolutionary rhetoric. Fred Hampton of the Black Panthers, and so many others. And that's just at home. The U.S. committed unspeakable atrocities abroad throughout the 50s and 60s, and still does the same today. Coups, destabilization, invasion, the funding of proxy wars, assassination of world leaders and revolutionaries. In short, the U.S. remains the greatest threat to world peace in history, and it will be remembered as the most evil empire to ever exist.
I love it when JT gets horny for cars.
You're listening to the wrong one, my dude.
Oh, shit. No? Which one are we listening to? Oh, fuck.
I was like, why are you laughing?
The assassination conclusion. Lol.
Akeem.
I clicked the wrong thing.
Akeem listened to the wrong one. All right.
It's okay.
I'll put in the static sound and rectify it. But,
I can't even make fun of him, honestly. I did that like three times, and then I'm like stumbling back and trying to find the right episode as you're listening to it. I'm just so sorry.
I spent hours compiling these, and you guys have one job. Click the right
click. Click the right one. Oh, fucking monkeys,
man.
I'm
sorry. Oh, my God.
All right. So that was... Anyway, I said that now this is fixed, and you guys ruined this. You can't even get this part right. The listener can't even listen to the end conclusion thing. Oh, my gosh.
It's okay.
No,
it's
you
right.
Plug the whole one. It's really, really good. Please don't skip this one.
Nice. Go listen to that, episode 86. It was good. But all right, this is also from episode 86, this next clip, and this is I decided I really wanted to do a car commercial in this episode. So here you go. And a little tidbit of information about JFK, the F, his parents actually, his middle name was the F slur. That's why no one ever says what the F stands for. It's John F. Kennedy. You never hear his middle name. I don't know why they did that, and we will probably never know. He took it to his grave. But that's really unfortunate.
It was the homophobia of the time.
Yeah. Anyway, we all know the story. JFK, Dallas, the grassy knoll. A gorgeous 1961 four-door Lincoln Continental limousine powered by a massive 7.0 V8 producing 300 horsepower and 485 pound-feet of torque. Delivered to the rear wheels by a state-of-the-art three-speed automatic transmission. This model was the first in the country to be offered with a two-year bumper-to-bumper warranty straight from the factory. The 61 Continental could hit 0 to 60 in a blistering 10.1 seconds, only hampered by its significant 5,000-pound curb weight. Yes.
What I said in the perfectly not messed up recording earlier was, I love when JT gets horny for cars.
Yeah,
it's such a beautiful.
We
it's
need
fun.
To and do more episodes like that one, man. That was boys. That was really fucking good. We need to get our fucking act together and make a lot more like that. That was sexiest shit.
Yeah, dear listener, we really want to do like a Nebula original series. We've got a bunch of different ideas where we kind of do it more highly produced, like episode 86 on the assassinations, or like Friends of the Show Blowback. I think we could actually do some pretty cool stuff in that field. Mm. But yeah, I just wanted to do a car thing because I don't know if you guys have seen it's ubiquitous in the United States, these really kind of like boomer oriented car shows on History Channel, and they all have like the dad rock and the same kind of voice that's narrating the whole thing. But yeah,
it's amazing.
That's fun.
Every time I go to the United States, that's literally the first thing I do. I'm like dying from jet lag. I go into the hotel room and I play the ads, and I just watch ads for like 30-40 minutes, because for people who haven't been to the States, like, no other place on planet Earth has ads like these motherfuckers. Like this is a whole different universe for you, right? Like you're missing out. I can tell you. Like
it feels, what, yeah. It feels almost fake, honestly. Yeah,
because mostly, no. If yeah, if you would think like you know what is American culture? People say you know burgers, beer, and the Coca-Cola. I would add ads because that shit is fucking styling, bro.
No kidding. It's a disease. All right. Let's move on to another friend of the show, Alan McLeod. He's back for episode 88. He's been on the show 3 times. He is our number one returning guest.
Basically the fourth member, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. I've told the boys a couple times, if I die, replace me with Alan. So here we go. Here's Alan's dream.
But you haven't heard a peep from him because we've been talking disgusting tea things. And
yeah, well, I sorry about that, Hakeem. I kind of started that off with my tooth problems, but it's great to be back. Yeah. Although I am kind of feeling slightly in two minds about doing this, specifically because of you, Hakeem. It's nothing you've done exactly, but let me explain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, please do.
I was having this dream a little bit after I went on the second show, and in the dream, I met this beautiful girl and we went on a date. And it turns out she was like a super Marxist. And I'm like, oh, nice. Okay.
Uh-huh. It was me.
And we ended up talking about Marxist theory for quite a lot. Her more than me, frankly. Mm. And anyway, we went back to my place and I'm trying to move the conversation and the action elsewhere. Yeah. But she just won't stop banging on about the 18th Brumiere or whatever. And I'm like, oh, honey, there's a time for Marx and there's a time for Sparks. But she just keeps on lecturing me for hours and hours. And I'm like, I don't care about linen. Anyway, at some point later, I woke up and went to the toilet. And I saw that I'd gone to sleep watching a YouTube clip with autoplay on. And it started playing one of your videos, Hakeem, called something like, I Answer the Questions Socialists Are Asked. And I realized what's happened, that you were literally polluting my dream, that effectively you had freaking cock-blocked me in my sleep, Hakeem.
Let's go. Oh, I'm supremely proud of that. I would apologize, but you know, you learned something.
Typical Hakeem.
Linen do be important.
Yeah.
Borderline, like, through video cucking, like, like a new fucking level of cock block. Absolutely.
Look,
impressive.
Hey, I don't know what to tell you.
You hear hello there and wake up in a cold sweat.
Oh my god. I'm sorry, Heavy.
That's our sweet boy. I wonder what Alan's up to today. We should have invited him on for the 100th episode.
Oh lord. You know what, actually we're gonna get him on soon enough. But I want to retract one statement. I don't apologize. I am thoroughly glad that I inhabit his dreams. That I took the soul of this poor pretty woman of his dream.
I'm sure many people have dreamed of you, Hakeem. I'm sure our entire audience freaked.
What do you mean you're not a sexy pretty woman? Like,
yeah.
I just thought you were deep voiced, like nice, whatever.
All right.
Oh my god.
Okay, we're rounding the band now. We've got 2 more to go. It's hard to believe. All right. First up, this was from an episode on Park, the leader of the fascist
leader of South Korea.
That was a fun episode. That was another one that was kind of more heavily produced, which was another fun one. So if you haven't listened to that, go and check it out. But this is probably the funniest bit from the episode, I would say.
During the dinner, there were certain volatile political issues being discussed, demonstrations in Busan, the nature of opposition leaders, the protests, and the conversation got apparently very heated. Some were trying to steer the topic to, you know, small talk to kind of calm people down, but Park wouldn't have any of it. He rebuked the director of the KCI for not being repressive enough in dealing with protesters. Some other people who were siding with K were suggesting that the demonstrators and those resisting the dictatorship should be mowed down with tanks. As the conversation was getting heated, one of the members of the clandestine background power within South Korea at the time entered into the meeting room with a semi-automatic Walther PPK pistol and opened fire, as of course the conversation was still ongoing. He shot several people in the arm and of course Park in the right chest. The gun then jammed as he was trying to kill other people in the room who were allied with Park, and
The guy left the room and then came back with a Smith & Wesson revolver. and then got back to fire. Let me get
my better one.
Exactly right.
He went for style points at first with the sexy little PPK. Yeah. And he's like, okay, got to get the workhorse.
But yeah, but exactly the right. beauty of it, kind of like the metaphor also during the Cold War, yeah, the PPK, yeah. and then after that, the Smithy, the you know, the working. Okay, I'm not going to go there. Okay, please.
The execution was fairly brutal. One of Park's allies was shot in the abdomen before being able to speak to Park about what's going on or try to create some sort of plan. And then he went over to, he walked up to Park and then shot him in the head. Execution style is what the official report describes it as.
Is that different from Gangnam style?
so fucking stupid. Oh my god,
I love you so much.
Anyway. Please continue.
That was incredible.
That was whiplash. I knew it was coming and it still took me by fucking surprise. I was like, oh, I wonder what interesting and thought-provoking question JT has.
I was proud of that. I came up with that pretty quick. Stupid. Dumb.
You know.
All right. Wow, looking at the recording time. This is you piggies, you little piggies are eating good tonight. I tell you,
yeah. 100 episodes,
and this is a long one. Mm. I'm going to give you like 7 more minutes here. This is the longest clip yet. This is from when we had our beloved sweet Brace Belden of Truanon on the pod, and we had a very stimulating intellectual and I think important conversation about a certain medical condition. Let's listen.
A guy with a broken dick came to work today. I think that's how I can stay. A man who had a penile fracture.
Hold on.
Wait, there's a bone in there?
Oh my god. All right, so basically the best way I can think about it is or explain it to you is, you know when you have like water balloons? Right.
Yeah.
If you're to overfill a water balloon and then tie it off, right, it's like it's a decently rigid, but you can kind of bend it. But if you're to be too forceful with it, right, if it's rubber, right, so it bends. But imagine if it was more rigid. If you're to be too forceful with it, then there will be a crack, and then there will be leaking of what you include inside. You have basically three of those kind of tubes you can think of in your penis. And this guy came in with the weirdest, fucking story. They always do, right? Where he's telling me that he's been just noticing an uncomfortable amount of new erections that he hasn't experienced before in his life. He's not an old man. He's in his late
20s. He's hitting puberty.
Yeah, but he's in his late 20s.
Many such cases.
He's a late bloomer. Cut him some slack.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's just like, I don't want these erections, but they just keep happening. And then he told me, he's like, finally, I guess he was outraged at the lack of consent. So he, supposedly, what he described it as he took his thumb and pushed onto the middle of his penis while bending his body.
Why?
And then he heard a loud crack, and then immediately his erection problem disappeared.
Oh, no.
But what replaced?
What cracks? Why does it crack? Is it the air inside? Like pop? Like when you pop your fingers?
No. There are no nitrogen bubbles nor air. It's just the cavernous bodies. I guess when you do bend it more than it will allow, then there is a sort of like popping sound and sensation.
What was he rocking with?
Yeah.
Oh, like the size of his
penis?
Yeah,
like what was he rocking with?
This guy, okay, hold on, you're getting ahead of yourself. Let me give you the rest of the details.
Go ahead.
So anyways, immediately after, he didn't have an erection problem anymore, but he was very, very in pain.
Yeah. His penis hurt a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was very awkward because he came in and the nurse had to bring him into the room and he was clearly in pain and she was like, does it hurt? And this poor guy had to look her in the eye and be like, like a little boy. Oh my god, poor dude. Anyways, so I take him to the room and he gives me this entire story. I don't know, maybe he was beating his meat too hard. I don't know what happened exactly. His story was too fanciful for me to believe it. But anyways, I'm like, all right, drop your pants after the proper, you know. I don't just see him and say drop your pants after the proper. You know, I investigate, and normally when somebody has a penile fracture, they have something called an aubergine sign, which is essentially extreme swelling of the penis that makes it look like an eggplant and an aubergine. Mm-hmm. He did not have that. that. He had a very regular penis, but he was very tender all around, like the base of his penis and his perineum, and underneath his testicle.
Dude, you know so much about dicks. Yeah. Like,
the classic tender perineum. Very familiar exactly. with it.
Exactly right. But yeah, and my favorite part about this is I was looking at this. I was like, this could be a penile fracture, but eh. So I called the urologist down, and normally urologists are very hard to get a hold of, at least where I am. But I called this dude. I'm like, it's a penis fracture, and he's like, oh shit.
Hell yeah.
He was like, I'm coming down immediately. Yeah. This dude showed up in 2 minutes, and then we both.
So I'm imagining this, Hakeem. Is it more or less like in Family Guy when they fall down the stairs and then their arm is like bent and broken behind their back? Is it like that? Is it like a twig that snapped but not all the way off? Is it like, how does it look?
If you get a quote-unquote traditional penile fracture, then yes. Once you get erect again, if it's even possible, then you kind of have a bent.
If it's even penis. Possible? Wait, is this guy looking up into your eye, like into your face, like eyes water, and be like, doctor, will I ever get a hard-on again? Just give it to me straight, doctor.
If you don't do it in time, then actually, if you don't check it out appropriately and then send it to surgery if it's required, then they'll have what is described in the literature as reduced capacity for rehabilitation, which basically means that you will never get hard again.
God,
not as hard. Which
I gotta tell you. I mean, just speaking for myself here. If my penis starts hurting in a crazy way, I am not going to solve it at my house. I'm going to go to the doctor no matter what. Like, I'm sorry. No matter where I am in the world or what the insurance situation is, I'm like, I can't fix this.
I am the opposite. It needs to, like, the pain needs to be like, I don't know, a woman birthing.
But have you ever had dick pain? Have you ever had a pain in your penis?
Torsion, very often.
but no, not even torsion. Like, for some reason, when I was younger, sometimes it even happens to this day. But I wash my dick with soap, right? Sometimes, because, like, I don't wash it off quickly enough, and some of the water or soap goes into, like, my pee-pee hole, right? And that, like, you know that pain? Like, yes. Very sharp pain Dr. for, like, Bronner's. 10 seconds. You can, like, squeeze it out, and it's like, yeah, that happens from time
somehow
to time.
Somehow, I think you just breaking your dick will hurt a little bit more than getting a little shampoo.
But didn't you just hear what Hakeem said? Like, five people had to see his broken dick in order for them
so
to
wait,
come.
So wait, are you guys all crowded around this guy just laughing? Like, did someone put on reading glasses like. To look closer at it?
All right, me and the urologist go in, and like I explain the story to the urologist, and he's clearly holding back a smile. I'm like, aww. All right, dude, let's.
You see, they make fun of us.
I know they do. I do too. I know they're doing this.
So I walk in, and then
they're talking about it on a podcast. Like, this is how fucked up these people are.
Hold up.
Oh, I'm saving you. But at what cost? At what cost? Maybe sometimes death or a broken penis is fucking worth it. You know,
one broken penis is a tragedy. Yeah. 1,000 broken penises is fine.
It's a statistic. as our favorite Georgian said, we walk in into the room, and then we're like, "All right, drop your pants." And we're both. Do you know how we're looking at like this? We look like disappointed mothers with our hands on our hips, both of us, as we're looking at this guy's penis. And then finally he's like, he looks at me like, we need to do imaging. So I send it for imaging, blah blah blah. It comes back and this is negative. We don't think there is a penile fracture. I think he just basically hurt himself in a stupid way.
He slammed his penis in the car door.
Exactly right. But then afterwards the urologist looks at me and he's like, I want to stick an endoscope in there. And I was like,
oh my God.
All right. So we go and we get the endoscope. The reason is because he's had a bit of hematuria. He peed a bit of blood after the fact. Yeah. So we went and then we put basically a sounding rod inside this man's penis and just checked everything out, making sure it's fine, as if he didn't have a bad enough day. And then afterwards, he's like, nah, you're good. Bro, you're good. You just got to go home, have some painkillers. You'll be fine. I said a little bit.
There you go. I was right. He didn't have to come in.
Okay.
He didn't have to come in.
No. But for the listeners, not for you, but for the listeners, if you have a suspicion of a penile fracture, or if you hear a fucking crack come in, okay, the risk of being laughed at a little bit, okay, by the way, behind your back.
Yes, it's behind your back.
Yeah.
People already do that anyway, so yeah.
And think of it this way. At any job I've ever had, if someone showed me their penis, I would be allowed to hurt them. Or at least get them kicked out of there. At his job, he has to look at it and consider it.
He can't do shit to you.
He can't do shit. In fact, you could get him fired if he refuses to look at your fucking shit. You could complain.
Bold of you to assume.
If he's like,
bold of you to assume.
He's like, I don't play around with that dick shit. You can be like, can I talk to your supervisor? And be like, Hakeem, you got to look at this guy's penis. You got, there was a crack.
You know, the thing that I didn't like about Brace's commentary is the implication that I don't enjoy looking at penis.
God bless.
Indeed, yes, told sir. Him to assume.
Oh, one of the greatest fucking off-the-cuff, what the fuck, I never thought I would be having this fucking conversation ever in my life that I'm very glad I had, even though it was definitely traumatized me when it comes to any interactions between doctors and my fucking cock. But... alas, it was worth it.
What a deranged episode that was. What a deranged backlog of episodes we have.
What a deranged podcast this is. Like, honestly. Like, look at this. Oh, and it throws me back, you know. You know, it's not like it's been 20 years, but for these 2 years, we've really put out a lot of insanity into the ether that I am quite proud of. And... arguably inspires me to even amp the game up a bit to an extent, especially to the levels we were at in the first, 10-20 episodes. We were very unhinged back then. So I guess the professionalism should take a second step to the unhingedness combined with the great producer skills that JT owns and the absolute batshit stories that Hakeem has. what a life I live, bro. What a life,
honestly.
Oh, I wouldn't give it for the world, boys. I love you guys.
Love you too, honestly, and all of you listeners too. We love you as well. I mean, we could not do this podcast without you.
Any of this,
none of it. I mean, from the Patreon supporters whom we love deeply, to the people in the Discord, the people who buy the merch, the people who just send us nice messages or leave a nice rating on the show. It really does make a huge difference for us, both, you know, in terms of financial stability and just, you know, peace of mind, knowing that we are putting something out there that people enjoy. And it really is something special. And, you know, I don't know. At the end of the day, it's just a podcast. But it really, to me, it feels like it's worthwhile. I mean, I really enjoy working with you two guys. I love hearing people's feedback to the show. I love the stories we hear of people saying, oh, I was playing this in my car. I had the window down. And then the dude looked at me like I was insane. Like, little things like that.
Yeah, it's just, absolutely.
It's great. It feels so good. And I truly think that we are the one show that offers the most joy per minute listened to of when it comes to like political content and cultural commentary.
Exactly.
I think we do.
You don't
want
to just end it immediately.
Yeah.
And yourself, I mean, specifically.
Yes, not the podcast. That will continue.
The capitalist system. The capitalist system we always strive to.
Exactly.
But this is an incredibly fulfilling part of my life. Dare I say, the most fulfilling part. Aww. And I can't thank the boys, number one, enough for this. And, of course, all our lovely listeners and supporters and everybody else. Anybody who leaves a comment, sends a nice message, supports us, it is... it's been an experience of a lifetime, genuinely. Mm.
Well, there you have it. There's the most requested favorite clips from the first 100 episodes of the show. Here's to the next 100.
Oh, Lord. Fuck me. I remember when we made I think it was an Afghanistan episode, we made the joke that we're going to get to, like, episode 5,000 or something.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I have to keep up with all this stuff now. I have to keep these organized. Mm. Oh, okay.
JT is just going to be going up to you and be like, yes, honey. He's going to throw his whip at him and like, get the fucking... organize the clips, yes, honey.
All right.
As I said, I don't know, 50 episodes ago, this show will not stop until the last human left alive, which is JT's beautiful daughter, is walking through the wastes listening to her podcast on a fucking cassette tape. That is my goal.
Be like, God damn, my dad's friends are fucking weird.
No
like,
thank God, first.
Thank God the world ended, man. Is this what these so-called males were like?
Yeah.
All right.
What a...
Yeah, wrap us up.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your continued support. We do love every single one of you. Hakeem, I love you. Yugovnik, I love you. Here's to the next 100 episodes.
Sure,
this has been The Deprogram. I'm JT.
I'm Hakeem.
And I'm Yugovnik.
And we'll see you in episode 101.